You are listening to R&IB Connect Radio, and it's time now to catch up with Marie Clarkson from the R&IB's employability team in the second instalment in our series discussing different stages of getting into employment. Last week, we focused on looking for work, and you can find that on our Listen Again function on our website, www.rnibconnectradio.org.uk. But this week, we're focusing on application forms and CVs, and this can be challenging for a lot of people, completing job applications forms, especially if you're blind and partially sighted, because we know that a lot of application forms are actually inaccessible for a lot of people with sight loss. Do you have any advice, Marie, on how to sort of get started with application forms and CVs?
Yeah, so many employers do ask candidates to complete an application form. It's part and parcel of job search, really. And the reason employers do this, of course, is so that they can compare all applicants for any given job on a standardised basis. Or usually, you know, check an application form, cross-reference it with a person spec, which outlines what experience, skills and knowledge and abilities candidates should have. And it's worth remembering that all employers are required under the Equality Act to make application forms accessible. So this can be done by either making them available in an alternative format, for example, by offering a reasonable adjustment to the recruitment process, or allowing you to complete the form over the phone. So there's many different things employees can do to overcome that barrier of completing an application form if you feel it is a barrier.
Do you have any tips on a successful application? I know that they're all different and they're all going to be asking different questions depending on the role and the company, but just in general, do you have any tips on a successful application?
Yeah, well, I mean, a good place to always start is by reading the person specification for the job. And looking at what experience, skills and knowledge that the job role requires. And then think about which ones you can meet and what examples you can include in the application form to really demonstrate that you have the skills that the employer is asking for. And remember that the primary aim when completing an application form, of course, is to get to the interview stage. So the most vital thing to have in mind when completing the form is, I suppose, to make it as easy as possible for the person reading it to shortlist you for the next stage. So the section I would put the most effort into is the personal statement, or sometimes this is replaced with competency-based questions. So personal statements allow you to change and demonstrate how well you can do the job. As well as your CV, you need to actively sell yourself, your skills, your knowledge, your experience. So if you do not demonstrate with examples how you meet the criteria for the job, then it's unlikely you'll be offered an interview. And the most important thing to remember when writing a personal statement is that you should address all points on the person spec and the job description. So make sure that you answer these points with specific examples from your previous jobs, work placements, hobbies or education. To make things more straightforward, you can mirror your personal statement to a person spec. So for example, if the person spec has 12 skills listed, then your personal statement should have the same 12 skills listed with examples of how you demonstrate them. So by doing this, I suppose you're making it easy for the employer to match your skills to the person's specification so they can see that you meet all the job requirements.
It sounds almost a bit like a tick list, like you look at the application and you see the skills that are needed and then you prove that you have those specific skills.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And of course, as well as a personal statement, some employers like to ask competency-based questions now. These are becoming increasingly common in application forms as well as job interviews. And the really tricky questions, such as describe a time when you or give an example of, and they ask examples of specific skills such as teamwork or leadership or communication. And I'm often asked, you know, how's the best way to answer those questions? And a good technique that I always try to remember is the STAR technique, S-T-A-R, which stands for situation, task, action and result. So if you kind of keep your answers on the application form to the STAR technique, it's a lot easier to answer the competency-based questions. So the situation would be how, when, where. The task would be what task were you faced with, what did you have to do. The action would be what actions did you take. And finally, the result, hopefully a positive one, of what results did you achieve and what conclusions did you reach? And of course, by structuring your answers in this way, you are keeping things concise.
And I suppose then it's easier for you to write your answers as well. Then if you're thinking about it in a four stage answer to a question, you can work it out in your head and then you have a clear vision of what you're going to put down on paper. Is it necessary to have a CV if employers ask you to complete an application form? Do you still need to have a CV as well?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's important to have a CV also. So, I mean, writing and updating a CV is a useful technique during a job search anyway, because it helps you keep track of your skills and experience. In the absence of an application form, employees choose who they want to interview from what is contained in a CV. So it's really important that it's easy to understand and shows off any strengths that you have. You may also choose to send your CV to employers speculatively alongside a covering letter. So, for example, if an employer is not advertising a vacancy at the moment, it's always good to have an up-to-date CV ready, so you can send that to them on spec.
What does a good CV look like then?
I suppose there's no right or wrong way to set out a CV, it's personal preference, but I suppose there are some standard sections that they should contain. So a CV should always have personal and contact information, of course, your education and qualifications, your work employment history, any skills relevant to the job and hobbies and interests. And remember when you're describing your interests to highlight aspects that show off the skills and competencies that an employer is looking for. So sort of things that are good to include are examples of working in a team, any relevant voluntary work or work experience, any activity that shows off you using your initiative really. And it's also good to remember to keep your CV to a maximum of two sides of A4 paper. So employees receive a lot of CVs, and it's unlikely, to be honest, that they'll read each one from start to finish. And in fact, most will make a judgment about a CV after a few seconds, so best keep it short and concise as possible.
Absolutely. That's so important to not have pages and pages and pages of information. So should you mention your sight loss on your CV or your application form?
Well, it's not necessary to mention your disability on your CV. You may feel that an employer will see your disability as the most important thing. And make assumptions based on your sight loss. Also, there may not be room on your CV to disclose your sight loss and to highlight the range of positive adjustments that could be made. Some application forms ask direct questions about disability, so you can consider what details you choose to include at this stage. So, for example, within an application form, some employers may have a separate equal opportunities monitoring form that they'll ask all participants to fill in. These forms are not used to judge application forms, and they separate from the actual form itself. And of course, the people who carry out the shortlisting process do not see these forms. But it is an opportunity for you to disclose your sight loss on the equal opportunities monitoring form, as opposed to trying to squeeze it in on a CV.
And it taking up space that you could be putting in your skills and your experience and things like that on your actual CV. Well, thank you for joining me, Marie. I'm just wondering, is there anywhere else that we can find further advice if someone's in the process of looking to get into employment?
Yeah, absolutely. So for CV templates and further advice about applying for jobs, you can visit the RNIB website, which is rnib.org.uk. You can also contact the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999 or email helpline@rnib.org.uk.
Thank you so much for joining us again, Marie. Remember that you can listen to previous instalments of this series of interviews on employability on our website, www.rnibconnectradio.org.uk. Next week, we'll be discussing interview techniques, but until then, thank you so much for joining me, Marie.
Thank you.